This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. For now, we're turning our attention to booster jabs for the COVID-19 vaccines. Malaysians who are eligible to receive COVID-19 booster shots have started to receive their jabs beginning last week. The booster rollout began in Sarawak, where 340,000 people have been identified as priority recipients, and third doses are also being administered to frontline workers in Sabah, Terengganu and Kelantan.
To recap, back in September, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob announced that the government would provide a third COVID-19 vaccine dose for high-risk groups in an effort to boost these vulnerable groups' protections against COVID-19. But there may be some confusion over who qualifies and what is the process for the third dose.
So to help us understand what to expect, we have on the line Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy. Good morning, Azrul. Always good to have you. Now, we know that certain groups qualify for a third vaccine dose, including frontliners and the elderly with comorbidities. But how is this booster jab being rolled out? I mean, is it via a voluntary basis? Are they being notified by MySejahtera? What should we be expecting?
Shots are intended for these groups of individuals. And if you're eligible, and meaning if you're a frontliner, you're immunocompromised, elderly with comorbidities, who basically have between 28 days to 6 months from their second jab, they're going to be notified through the MySejahtera app or SMS phone calls from the vaccination centres. And the public healthcare facilities are managing the roll-up among their staff, and for the private sector, pending the clearance by the Ministry of Health at the state level. If I'm not mistaken, Sarawak has actually already started last week offering COVID-19 boosters with the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and they're beginning with high-risk individuals who receive two doses of the mRNA shot. So the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine has already been approved by the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency as a booster dose.
And Azrul, what about those who are interested in getting these booster shots but are not within the current priority categories? Should they be offered that option too?
Well, look, you know, those who are needing the booster jabs today include cancer patients, organ recipients, kidney disease patients undergoing dialysis, cancer, SLE patients, whose immune systems may not have responded as strongly from the two-dose regime compared to others not with those conditions. Experts have already determined that COVID-19 boosters are generally not needed for the general population at this point in time. So we shouldn't go out there rushing to get a booster jab. It really is really for those in the higher risk categories for whom the boosters are needed. So Malaysia's first real-world study on COVID-19 vaccine efficacy, the RCOVAM study, undertaken from 1st April, it's weird names these days, to 12th September, has demonstrated that two doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech, AstraZeneca, Oxford and Sinovac vaccines still protect against severe disease and death, even with the outbreak of the Delta variant.
And Azrul, you were alluding early on about the approval to get private sector, right, to essentially administer these booster jabs. What's your perspective in how they administer and regulate that?
Well, it's being informed from the previous experience of rolling out the vaccines, both through the public avenue as well as the private sector. They are basically utilizing the Protect Health Corporation for the purposes of mobilizing the GP. So I think we're all right. Because it's not going to be involving the majority of the population, they should be able to roll out the boosters when and where it's needed.
So Azrul, just so I get this straight, basically, if the government is reaching out to those who are eligible for a booster shot, so there's no sign-up requirement, you essentially just wait to be contacted by the vaccine centres whether or not you are being offered that booster shot?
Pretty much, but also just in case you're wondering whether you're eligible, the eligible criteria are on the website and basically they can see whether or not they will need the booster jabs. And if you are, you can basically volunteer and go over to the vaccination center to get that, but it's really best to wait for notification.
Okay. And can you help us, can you help clarify what the government's position is on mixing vaccines? Because as you said, the Pfizer vaccine has been approved for booster shots. Does this mean that those who received a different two doses earlier, they'll be getting Pfizer vaccines, or what is the government's stance on that?
Well, you know, I can't speak for the government, obviously, but you know, the mixing and matching of vaccines or heterologous vaccination has not yet been cleared for practice by the NPRA, although the booster jab approach for those who have already been vaccinated with two jabs of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is authorized. So the authorization really right now is for individuals who completed the vaccination with a Pfizer vaccine, and heterologous vaccination is still being studied. But the reality here is the decisions really need to be guided by studies and data, which take into consideration some of the specific local conditions. We can't simply copy and paste protocols from the US, for example, as they don't use Sinovac, whereas a large proportion of the population here is vaccinated with that vaccine. So we have to look to studies which mix and match using that vaccine. But having said that, though, you know, I think based on what we know so far, it does look like heterologous or mix and matching vaccination using the mRNA vaccine is going to be the way to go, as it seems to confer quite significantly increased protection as a booster based on what we've seen in other countries so far.
And on to travel, Azrul, Malaysia has reduced the quarantine period for incoming travellers to 7 days for the fully vaxxed. Well, for those who are not vaxxed or not fully vaxxed, they have to undergo a 10-day quarantine period. Is this a good move? And when do you foresee us to remove, you know, quarantine periods entirely?
Well, you know, Malaysia is actually taking a conservative and cautious approach to this issue, despite around 94%, I believe, so far of the adult population already completely vaccinated. It's probably not yet ready to adopt what the UK did recently, which is to do away with quarantine altogether for fully vaccinated individuals from green list countries. The question is really whether we should adopt reciprocal measures. But the reality here is that if there were outbreaks to occur here in Malaysia originating from inbound travellers, we are still going to have to deal with it. So I think we're still freaked out by what we've experienced over the past 22 months, and we're not yet in that headspace to do away with quarantine. Hopefully that will change soon, you know, as we have vaccinated most of the population at this point.
So I think what is potentially freaking out parents a lot, I think, is the school reopenings in Melaka, Selangor, KL and Putrajaya, right? Because they're expected to fully reopen on the 8th of November when states move into phase four. So what are the concerns do you see with respect to school reopening, and what is the scenario or the plan really if infections are detected in schools?
Well, you know, to say that parents are freaked out is actually probably an understatement. I think quite a lot of people out there with kids who are going back to school in these states are actually going to be very cautious and being careful in this regard. You know, we've already seen some of the other states that have already had kids going to school, and we can see and learn from what's happening there. But the reality here is that there will be infections and outbreaks which originate from schools, and we have to be prepared for that. But we need to remember to focus less on the number of new positive cases which emerge, even though they may come from kids, but more on ensuring that children are able to study and learn in environments made safer. So we need to have things like improved ventilation, good hand sanitization and face mask practices, etc. So kids will likely get infected. And hopefully, with now they're being rolling out vaccination for the category of people in this age group, there's going to be fewer of them who will fall seriously ill. So the reality here is that schools will likely see 50% capacity or even less, based on what we've seen in other states. And we have to do this slowly and gently, taking into consideration, you talk about the parents, think about the kids, you know, going back to school, the state of mental health amongst many of them. I think most students must be surely suffering from fatigue and burnout after months of online learning. So, you know, the issue here is obviously COVID to be concerned about, but also, you know, we have to consider the state of mind, that mental health among students who are going back to school after being so long away from that environment. But, you know, kids right. are more resilient than us, right?
So hopefully that could be left.
Yeah, I hope so. They're going to be bouncing around, you know, we're going to be worried, right? So.
Azrul, thank you as always for speaking to us. That was Azrul Muhammad Ghalib, the CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, talking to us about some of the challenges that we're going through as we reopen the economy, as schools reopen, as booster jabs are being administered, you know, giving us some clarity on what to expect. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.